This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So I raised the framework. Major Donald Kehoe, early UFO writer, influencing so many people with the forerunner of the perceptions of UFOs being spaceships, the silence group, UFO secrecy, all the memes of traditional UFO research carried in his books. Nick Redfern, do you think he was a tool?
Well, yeah, I actually think that could well be the case, and I'll explain why. If you look at the time frame, you know, sort of early 50s when Kehoe took off big time in terms of UFOs. Now, if you go back to August 1949, that's when the Air Force put out a technical report under Project Grudge, which is one of the early UFO programs. Now, this was a study of just under 230 alleged UFO incidents. But the most important part of this document is one that so many people forget or ignore. It says, the recommendation was, quote, that the psychological warfare divisions and other government agencies interested in psychological warfare be informed of the results of this study. Now, psychological warfare is essentially manipulating the truth to hide something else and to steer people away from something else. So, in other words, as far back as 49, we had the military recognizing that, okay, there may well be a real UFO phenomenon, but we can manipulate this phenomenon by psychologically priming certain people to believe certain things, kind of like saying a UFO crashed at Roswell or at Aztec. So I would not be surprised if people like Kehoe, when they were seen as being somewhat problematic and maybe unknowingly starting to uncover things on classified balloon programs, but thinking that they were actually uncovering stuff relative to UFOs, then they may have said, okay, you know, we need to give this guy what he wants, and what he wants is UFOs, so, you know, let's do that. That may be why it's not a coincidence that a lot of his cases did come from the governments if he was being pushed down that path. I mean, another thing I talk about in the book is the Aztec story. Silas Newton, we know, was one of a very shady character who was involved in spreading this story and maybe involved in creating it, this story of a crashed UFO in Hart Canyon in Aztec, New Mexico in March 1948. Now, what's interesting is that according to Newton himself, or to one of his old journals, he said he was approached by two members of a clandestine military group or government group, which he didn't name. He thought he was going to get into trouble, but they actually said, look, we want you just to keep telling this story about the crashed UFO. We're not here to threaten you or shut you up. We want you to actually keep talking about it. And that kind of suggests, you know, again, that there was somebody in the military or the intelligence community that wanted these bogus crash UFO stories to be believed and endorsed. And again, my only conclusion could be, well, not only, but I think the main conclusion would be, talk about crashed UFOs when you want to try and hide something else that, yes, it crashed, but it wasn't a UFO. Maybe, in some sense, perhaps something did come down near Aztec, but it may not have been a UFO. And maybe Silas Newton was prompted to talk about the UFO angle to hide the fact that something else came down.
And I agree, Nick. There's nowhere near enough attention and research has been enacted by researchers looking at this angle of deliberate disinformation and misinformation by the government using the UFO subject as a convenient smokescreen to hide classified projects. I think it makes so much sense, and you point out, and I think rightfully so, that all the way back in the 40s with Project Grudge, they were still a little bit confused about the subject, but you could tell they could they were already seeing the advantages of the subject as a way to obfuscate their own programs that were highly classified and obviously need to know. So I think that this is an area that more people need to become involved and start doing the quality of digging that you do. And another example would be, which I think not enough kudos and credit was given, James Carrion with his ghost rockets research. He came up with some very, very intriguing documentation and research that shows that the government, even at the end of World War II, was already possibly involved in covering up events with using undefined aerial objects as a way to hide other projects. So I think this is something for some of our younger listeners out there. If you really want to be part of the solution and not just a true believer, part of the rank and file, this would be a good area to really get involved with and do some digging like Nick is doing and like others are slowly doing. I think the NORAD event that occurred in early 94, in January of 94, which occurred in the San Luis Valley, which I have an extensive article on my website, this could also be some sort of cover-up for missile launches from White Sands to a landing range that's just south of Green River, Utah, and possibly this could have been an errant rocket that may have come down in pieces into the San Luis Valley. And people at NORAD were unaware that launch was taking place, or inadvertently some of the personnel may have reported it as a few acre-sized heat bloom and told Rio Grande County Sheriff and Search and Rescue to exhaust all efforts to find the source of it. So even today, in the modern era, we might be seeing this same sort of bait-and-switch type thing with subjects like Dulce, for instance. I think is a classic example of using a story originally prompted by Air Force intelligence, and then now it's blown into this huge myth of an alien underground base. And so, and I really applaud you, Nick, for really having the courage to fly in the face of ufology.
I appreciate that, Chris. And I think one of the problems with ufology is that if sort of an insider or an alleged insider tells a really exciting story, there's this almost like an overwhelming wish to believe it. Because why? Because it's exciting and it's conspiratorial and it's what we want to hear. And sometimes that yearning for that angle overwhelms what should be an impartial study of the story. I mean, I always say to people, if you're given a controversial story by an elderly whistleblower, don't just focus on the story. Ask the question, why me? Why have I been approached, and why am I being approached now? Are you working on something else, another program, another project, which somebody might want to steer you away from? And then suddenly this elderly guy turns up, and his story's so powerful that you go chasing off after that. And that's one of the problems ufology has. I mean, I think that happened a great deal with the MJ-12 documents, that a lot of researchers were looking into Roswell in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, Stan Friedman, Bill Moore, and suddenly the MJ-12 documents come out, and there's no doubt that a lot of the thrust went away from investigating Roswell, the event, and everybody and his brother was focusing on these documents. I won't say the investigation of Roswell was derailed, because it wasn't, but the emphasis, this massive emphasis that was on the case, were suddenly channeled over to these questionable, controversial documents. And I don't think that was coincidence. Kind of the same, you talked about Dulce. I mean, like Greg Bishop's Project Beta book all about Paul Benowitz. That's kind of a classic example as well. And I think, ufology needs to sort of, when we get these whistleblower stories about crashed UFOs and dead aliens, we need to sort of take a breath and stop and think, like I said, why me? Why now? What's the motivation an insider giving me this information? That may make people think then, well, hang on a minute, this is just too good to be true. And sometimes it seems to be too good to be true because it actually is, And then it's up to us then to try and figure out why we were approached and what is it that's really being hidden. So,
I'm being approached right now by this out of the woodwork, sort of out of the blue source that I don't know how they got my name. I don't know how they knew I was interested in the story. But in a recent data dump that John Greenwald had about 2 or 3 months ago, there was an interesting letter to the net and to the Forest Service from a guy that claimed that he stumbled on the entrance up on a cliff face here in central Arizona of some sort of underground alien facility.
Okay, the cliffhanger, folks, with Gene and Chris and Nick Redfern, you're in
the Paracast. Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, Chris, you opened the door there. Oh, please,
well,
tell
again,
us more.
As with a lot of these stories, I've been very lucky, I think, over the last 25 years. I've only been punked once. I'm not the kind of person that I guess attracts these whistleblower sources that come forward and try to pull fast ones on you. I've been expecting one for a while, and this may be the one. This guy claims he can take me right to a spot in a canyon where there's doors that are camouflaged. They're very artfully camouflaged, but they open up and craft come out, and he's seen aliens in the neighborhood there, and he's been monitoring this, I think, since the late 90s, early 2000s. And all of a sudden, I get an email from this person saying he wants to take me there. So,
you know, I mean, a lot of your research into cattle mutes, I mean, you know, yourself, there's multiple theories. And one of the theories is that the UFO angle acts as a cover for, you know, sort of domestic experiments, you know, whether it's to figure out if there are viruses in the food chain or, you know, all sorts of weird stuff. I mean, whether the theories are correct or not, you know, there is that angle that the UFO aspect of cattle mutilations has been encouraged, you know, as a umbrella for something else.
I've been saying that for much to the chagrin of a few researchers out there who tout the alien angle. I've been saying that for years, as many listeners of the Paracast are aware and readers of my books. I think that there's something much more terrestrial going on. And I think the same can be said with your work in looking at Roswell and looking at the whole UFO subject kind of in general, that there's a lot of mis and disinformation that has been salted into the lexicon and into the narrative. And I think that it's perfect fodder for people that really don't have the time or the inclination or the ability to dig into these subjects deeper to the extent that you do or some other researchers who I have a lot of respect for. They just rather believe the stuff that rings true to them. And when you ask them, why do you believe this? How do you know that this is true? And why do you feel so strongly this is true? Pretty much, by and large, everybody says, well, my intuition tells me it's true. And I'm sorry, but you can't go on just straight gut feelings and intuition when it comes to such a complicated subject as the paranormal or ufology or cattle mutilations or whatever it is. You've got to dig. You've got to actually do the work. There's not enough people out there in the, you know, the big audience for all this stuff, the people that tune into Gaia TV and go to Contact in the Desert, and they so lust after wanting to believe that they just really they really don't have a proper perspective. I think I'm sure Nick, you would agree.
I fully agree with what you said, and I think there's also another angle, and that is there are certain people in ufology who don't want to upset the apple cart because they're fearful of being sort of thrown out of the little cliques and groups with the, you know, the certain people who always hang out at certain conferences. They don't want to risk losing their position on the conference stage. They want to be able to continue doing the TV shoots. They don't want to risk upsetting the old timers who are influential and can get them further up the ladder. You know, it's basically not wanting to rock the Roswell scenario because you prefer to kiss ass, you know, to get on in ufology.
It doesn't seem to be harming you, Nick.
Well, that's because, you know, people know I say what I think, and there are conferences where they may not want me, but I'm not going to lose sleep over that. I'm just going to say what I think, and if people don't like it, well, to hell with them. I don't care. But there are people who do care. My view is that I do it my way. If it turns out to be the right way, great. If I was duped on something, I'm going to say why I was duped and how it happened. I mean, it was like when the Roswell slides thing, when that was shown to be a mummy, there were still researchers who didn't want to be critical of the research of the Roswell slides community that was looking into it.
There still are people.
Yeah, that's because they were friends with them, they were colleagues, they were together, and they felt awkward about criticizing them. Well, you know, that's too bad. If somebody screws up, well, make sure that the world knows, or the UFO community knows. I mean, I see this at conferences where somebody will talk about something really controversial and another person on the panel won't criticize them because they know that person's got a lot of clout and a lot of followers. And so they try and worm their way around it and squirm without actually saying anything at all, you know.
Yeah, I should take one of their workshops because it doesn't stop me. I pride myself in being that little boy in the parade route pointing at the naked emperors or empresses walking, strutting along the parade route. you know, again, this just really boils down to whether this is entertainment or whether this is real hard-boiled research and investigation. And unfortunately, many of the people interested in these subjects can't tell the difference. It's really sad. I think it's slowly changing. We just had a very interesting 16-year-old on the show who's a paranormal researcher. Cryptozoology is his real passion. He sounded so level-headed. And when John Greenwald came out in the mid-90s as a 14-year-old, look at how much he's accomplished. I really do think that there's hope for the field with the quality of young people that are coming along and really looking at this dispassionately and really digging in and doing the research. Until you do that, you can't make a determination whether something is legitimate or whether it's fantasy. You know, unfortunately, I think, like I said, sound like a broken record, the majority of people interested in these subjects can't tell the difference.
Well, that's the problem. Ufology has its own laws where a great story has to be true, or we really want it to be true. There's also the issue of so many people in ufology can't keep their mouth shut. You know, they'll talk about this, they'll talk about that, before it's even been fully investigated. Then somebody else jumps into it, and before you know it, it's some big unholy mess. You know, I think the ideal approach is to keep your data as close to hand as you can, and when you're ready, then put it out for everybody to see all the material, and not sort of have it come out in snippets or through Chinese whispers or rumors, or have you heard what so-and-so's doing? And that's what happened with the Roswell slides, that nobody got to see the slides until the last moment, and there were all these conjectures and theories running around. Had I been the person who had been given those slides, I wouldn't have told anybody, apart from people who could perhaps help with the investigation.
Right, and put a muzzle on them for them not to say anything.
Yeah, muzzle everybody, including me. And if it fell apart, you could discard it, and no one would ever know. It wouldn't even come out. But to actually talk about it and not show the slides until the last moment, that had everybody and his brother looking into this, wondering what's going on. Are these actually pictures from dead bodies from Roswell? And then when we finally saw it, days before it all collapsed, it was this sort of poor little mummified kid in a museum. You know, that could have been totally nipped in the bud immediately, you know, but it wasn't. And ufology's problem.
How could something so dried up and desiccated be from Roswell if it was, the photograph was taken in 47? It would have had to have been taken years before that, or the body would have had to have been interned years before that for the amount of mummification that obviously was probably due to a dry environment. That very fact alone put the whole thing in question. It should have put the whole thing in question to Schmidt and Carey and the other supporters of Jaime Maussan.
Let's continue with more with Nick Redfern and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Homeowners have much more to worry about than just making their mortgage payment. Can you afford to repair or replace your air conditioning when it stops working this summer? Or worse, a major plumbing problem? With National Home, you can say goodbye to repair bills. If you own a home, you can stop paying for these costly repairs. Best of all, call now to get 1 month of repair coverage for free. Get total protection for your home's major appliances and systems, so you have no more costly repair bills. Call 800-887-3022. That's 800-887-3022. 800-887-3022.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Nick's in rare form. His book is The Roswell UFO Conspiracy. And I should point out to our readers, it's a compact book. It's a quick read. And it really takes you to some interesting points of view in terms of not just this case, but how the government may have influenced a lot of UFO cases. Now, here's an interesting point to mention, Nick. In looking at this book, 12 years after Body Snatchers in the Desert, is there anything today that you would change about the original book?
Well, I wouldn't change it so much, but what I did was to the new book was to add certain information on the people I spoke to and how I came to meet them. Now, when Simon & Schuster published Body Snatchers in the Desert, the editorial team wanted it basically just all the data. But I felt that there was some capital could be gained by explaining how I actually got to meet these people and under what circumstances. So in the new book, I've talked about that because that actually is part of the story as to how I got involved with them. You know, it wasn't like, oh, you know, we'll just contact Nick Redfern and tell him. It was sort of like a strange set of strands that led me to these people one by one. So I would have liked to put that in the first one, but the data hopefully alone, you know, told the story. But I did feel at some point it was important to get that across. So I've done that with the new one. But I wouldn't have done things sort of too much different. I mean, with the new one, what I've done, obviously, is to sort of provide a summary of Body Snatchers for people who haven't read the first one, but then to sort of pretty much go into the new material. Well, actually, there is one thing that I would have changed in the first book, and I stress this in the new one, is that people were saying, oh, well, this is Nick Redfern's theory, Nick Redfern's story, not realizing or actually ignoring that multiple people have been given this same story, but nobody else have been written a book on it. I'm going to give you an example, because I talk about this in the new book. Back in 1997, which was the 60th anniversary of Roswell, when the Air Force came out with the crash test dummies and Corso came out with his book, Popular Mechanics were approached by a source who they didn't reveal, who said that there was going to be a forthcoming release of documents that would tell the story of a Japanese equivalent of paperclip, and that the bodies would be shown to be Japanese personnel on this program. That story didn't go any further. Apparently, the files did not surface, but Popular Mechanics said that they had a source who told them that that was the story. And this was sort of 8 years before Body Snatchers came out. Now, John Keel, it wasn't just his theory that it was a Japanese balloon. As I point out in the book, he had a number of sources who told him the story of the Japanese flights, etc. In the early 1990s, Leonard Stringfield, in one of his status reports on crashed UFOs, he published a story of people who had sort of genetic handicaps who were used in radiation experiments at Los Alamos in the 40s. So, in other words, there were threads of this story going back years, which had nothing to do with me, and which in some cases came sort of 14, 15 years before my book came out, but people insisted on saying, oh, it's Nick Redfern's theory or his story. It wasn't. As I said, the only difference was that I dug into it further to the point where I could write a full-length book on it, whereas somebody like Keel did a small article for Fate. But it was basically strands of the same story. So I would have emphasized that more in the first book, but at least, you know, I've been able to do it now. So.
There goes Nick again, throwing a turd in the punch bowl.
Well, you know,
hey, somebody's got to do it, man. I really applaud you.
Well, I don't do it deliberately. I just don't shy away from telling it as it is. You know, if it doesn't fit the facts and it doesn't fit what ufology wants to hear, I'm not going to say, well, it does fit just for the sake of appeasing this one conference organizer who gets me on the bill every year. You know, I'm not going to worry if he throws me off next year because he doesn't like this book. You know, that's if you haven't got the strength of character to just stand behind your own stuff without worrying what someone else is going to say, you might as well give up. You know?
That's his loss, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But looking at this here, in light of this book and in light of the things that you've learned, doesn't that really raise the demand on the UFO field to just take a new look at all the old cases? From stem to stern. I know Kevin Randall's been doing a lot of that, but he's just one guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is that aspect to it, but equally, I think, you know, ufology is so driven by the whole I want to believe factor that, you know, a significant number of conferences won't want me to speak about it, you know, particularly if they've got people new to the subject. I can see some of these organizers thinking, well, hang on a minute, we're going to have a bunch of young people coming along who are new, and Nick's going to be talking about how aliens didn't crash at Roswell. You know, the best thing to do is we won't have him speak. I can see that happening a lot, you know, but I'm not going to change my views on it. You know, if they don't like it, to hell with them. But I do think it should have its, you know, its fair share. The reason being that if people deliberately ignore it, what's happening is that ufology is effectively self-censoring itself, you know. And,
yeah, it's intellectual dishonesty.
Yeah, and that's as bad as, you know, if a UFO case is hidden by the military or the government, you know, we're trying to expose it. If we start self-censoring because it's going to upset the apple cart, like I said earlier, or, you know, people are just going to be upset that aliens didn't crash at Roswell, so they, you know, they look in a different direction, well, that's... That's a big tragedy, you know, that the people would actually self-censor ufology for the sake of, you know, getting another few people on in the lecture theater at whatever, at $20 a time or something.
I wonder here, as we talk about this, we can continue on our next segment, whether some of the early cases of UFO abductions were in part military experiments or completely military experiments. And I still think that occasionally, and I've been shot down 1,000 times, but I'll still say it, Barney and Betty Hill, they live near a military base. Many of their friends are in the military. The details of the beings they saw and other aspects of the case differ from later UFO abductions. So is it at all possible that this particular case or similar cases were basically mind control experiments of some sort?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at the era, I mean, particularly with the Space Brothers, you know, I mean, that would be easy to manipulate some of the early contactees, because the Space Brothers looked just like us. You know, they weren't little greys, which would be more difficult to sort of, to do with. But, I mean, in one of my early books, Contactees, I talked about the case of Orfeo Angelucci, one of the early contactees, but lesser known ones. And he had some really weird experiences. He talked about one particular case, or one time out in the California desert, when he was due to meet this sort of enigmatic character who wanted to speak to him. And he said they went to this particular diner out in the California desert, and this mysterious guy said to Angelucci, "Before we talk about what I can tell you about UFOs, you need to take this pill." And, you know, this was a stranger. And Angelucci took it off him and swallowed
it. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And literally within about 15 minutes, he started to feel kind of weird and creeped out. And then suddenly, I think it was like he had like a drink on the table. He could see like this little ballerina dancing in the drink. And the room looked more brighter and the colors were more defined. And it was almost like he was on a trip.
Yeah, it sounds like LSD.
Yeah. Well, what happened then, he said that in this kind of befuddled stupor, he said on the table next to him were two military guys staring intently at him.
Let's break it here and continue with the story of Orfeo Angelucci in the diner with Nick Redfern and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features. And most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere. Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So they slip Orfeo a tab, Nick Redfern, or something, and he takes it. He's so naive.
Yeah. And what happened from there was that instead of this guy promising to share what he knew about UFOs, this guy then started pumping Angelucci for information. What do you think about UFOs? Do you think people believe in them? How do you think the public's responding to your experiences? In other words, if his events were sort of staged like a mind control thing, they were then trying to figure out how successful it was working, and they got two guys sat on the table next to them, possibly just to make sure nothing went wrong or, you know, he didn't overdose or whatever. I mean, there are a number of cases where you could suggest that happened. I mean, for example, if you look at the famous Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker case at Pascagoula, Mississippi in 73, on that stretch of the Mississippi River, just a few miles away, there used to be a facility there that performed research into mind manipulation through using chemicals. You know, it was like an outgrowth of the MKUltra program. In other words, it wouldn't surprise me at all if certain UFO events over the years had been manipulated via things like mind manipulation, mind control, in simple terms as it's known. And possibly, you wouldn't really need to be that sophisticated. You know, you get somebody into a really altered state of mind, create a few props, put the person in this majorly wasted state into a room, and then essentially, you know, the seeds would grow. It would be almost like a ufological Johnny Appleseed where, you know, the story would spread and the seeds would spread. It would be like an early version of a meme. It would just spread everywhere. And so maybe if these events were staged, not much effort might have to be put into them because ufology would do the rest. It would talk about the stories and interview the witnesses. Before you know it, the image of the abduction or the contact case would be cemented then.
Well, it sure worked that way, didn't it?
We don't know for sure, you know, but it wouldn't surprise if you look at the time frame of things like MKUltra and LSD experiment, you know, which were also going on in England. The British Army, you know, had a program in the early 50s where they dosed, without their knowledge, you know, troops and filmed them sort of walking around woods on LSD. And some of these films you can find on YouTube, you know, the soldiers are just laughing and staggering and wandering around the woods, you know, incapable of doing anything. So time-wise, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
And then you have someone like a Douglas Dietrich, who not too many people, I think, really heard of. He appeared briefly a few years ago with this idea that the whole gray alien with the slanted eyes was actually a subtle way to actually prejudice people of Asiatic origins. And it was a subtle way to brainwash people into being in a place of fear and possibly in a place of negative feelings about people with slanted eyes or aliens with slanted eyes, which I thought was kind of an interesting idea. But then he goes on to say that the Japanese actually won World War II and it was the whole end of the war was staged. And he kind of lost me there and definitely lost Richard Dolan, who almost went out of his chair at the speaker's panel. I had to kind of hold him down because he was frothing at the mouth, you know, listening to the the revisionist history. But you just never know what the government is up to and what the rationale is to possibly conduct things like Project Monarch, Project Artichoke, and some of these mind-altering drug experiments and the CIA in San Francisco, you know, drugging people, going to prostitutes and stuff. I mean, I don't think you can really second guess what their actual agenda is in a lot of these things. And you start looking at the Army Chemical Corps and Sidney Gottlieb and dosing Frank Olson, for instance, at a party, and then possibly later dosing him again, which led to his death. And you know, the government is just so, governments in general are really capable of doing some pretty horrific things under the guise of national security and counterintelligence and those types of practices.
Well, I think there could be sort of multiple reasons as to why these experiments could be going on. Now, obviously, the most likely one with things like Roswell is to actually hide a physical event that occurred and try and pass it off as something else. However, what I also think is that in some cases, the reasoning might be to see how easy it is to manipulate people's minds and see how rumors can spread and be perceived as the truth. In other words, perhaps one particular UFO case or story is fabricated and somebody on the inside spreads it, and then they carefully watch to see how it spreads throughout ufology, how the story mutates, how then you have Walter Mitty types who come forward claiming to be part of that program, which never really existed. In other words, you know, there could be this sort of psychological angle that it's a good sort of litmus test of how rumors can be spread and how the enemy, possibly potential enemies overseas, might fall for the ruse as well. And it's all done via a non-existent UFO case, so no real secret should ever compromise. So I think that's, you know, a possibility. A lot of reasons and ways why the UFO community may have been targeted in different ways to try and engineer different results, you know, whether to hide something or just see, like I said, see how rumors spread, see what the Russians think if we start saying we've got crashed UFOs. Maybe sometimes it's been done even to sort of try and get Russian spies in the US to come out into the open. You know, maybe they've been actively spying on the UFO angle, and so the government overemphasizes it, and then suddenly, you know, a guy named Ivan gets arrested because he, you know, he messed up and got too close to the truth of something that actually wasn't real, but it resulted in his arrest, you know.
Yeah, especially in the 50s and into the 60s, I would be very surprised if that particular angle wasn't foremost in some counterintelligence officers' minds and some of the programs that they devised to flush these spies out. It makes perfect sense during the Cold War, especially.
Yeah, and the important thing is no real secret would have been compromised. You know, it would all have been just a giant ruse. I think that probably has happened. But, of course, then it becomes a staple part of ufology, and then it becomes believed, and that's the problem. So I think sometimes we should focus less on investigating UFO sightings and concentrate more on who's telling the story and what's their motivation and where did they suddenly pop up from, you know.
Well, I think the government is very, very interested in how memes propagate, how stories spread, how quickly they spread, whether they change at all, whether they attract other memes to them and become super memes. It makes perfect sense to me that sort of interest would be there in the government, especially when it comes to intelligence subjects and counterintelligence subjects. I think it makes perfect sense. And I would be very, very surprised if this wasn't one of the major operative rationales for the government being involved in the UFO subject area. In fact, I think this would be probably one of the most important angles and aspects of their involvement.
Yeah, and I think so many people in ufology don't realize, they never think of that angle. All the focus is on the incident, you know, and that may well have been to our cost on many occasions.
Just want to tell everybody that we have a special feature of this show called the PowerCast Plus, and I haven't mentioned it before, but I think it's very important in connection with what we've been talking about here, because we offer an exclusive feature on PowerCast Plus called After the PowerCast. And it can be special interviews. It can be color commentary. And this week we feature Monty Shriver. And he is a former resident of Aztec, New Mexico, who, upon hearing about the alleged crash at Hearth Canyon, decided to spend a year of his life investigating the case and looking into the three books written on the subject that have gotten so much attention. And what he found will be reported there. I think we all know they didn't find anything that supports the case. And if you want to know more about how to get After the PowerCast and join the PowerCast Plus, go to plus.thepowercast.com. That's plus.thepowercast.com. We also give you the ad-free or commercial-free version of this show with better quality audio, other extras, free books for 5-year and lifetime subscriptions. Again, that's plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com. The book under discussion, The Roswell Conspiracy, Nick Redfern's sequel to Body Snatchers in the Desert. More to come with Gene and Chris. You're in the PowerCast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive PowerCast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the PowerCast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a PowerCast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.thepowercast.com, store.thepowercast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the PowerCast. If you go to store.thepowercast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.